Welcome back to Components. Today I'm here with Jeffrey from Bucket Studio, and we're continuing our conversation on his chapter in the up-and-coming content operations book. All right, let's get back to the conversation. You know, it really strikes me that thinking about personalization, it has this baggage that I feel like most people just immediately jump to with this, where they think of it as, yeah, I mean, like, everybody thinks of personalization as, oh, Amazon's trying to sell me something.
Yes.
Like, I think that's the first place everybody goes. But if you step back and you think about it more in the way that you're describing, what I hear when you talk is, how do we get to a place, now that we're in a digital first, and in some places almost a digital only world, where we can bring back the conversation that was how people interacted in commerce for the rest of human history, right? Like, where you talk to somebody and by default, the human thing to do is to personalize a conversation. A conversation is by definition personalized. You ask a question, you get a response. Nobody gives you a generic response when you're looking them in the eyes, right? But like, we live in a world now where there's a digital wall between the people that are interacting with each other. And like, how do we start to break that down? And just because this is the world we live in, it has to be done at scale, right? Like, you can't, there's no such thing as like one-on-one interactions for every, for every like commerce interaction, for every transaction out in the world anymore. It's just not how it works. So I think that's a really interesting line of work right now and thought. So for what it's worth, that's my take on on listening to you here. So I have a follow-up question that's very specific. Where can somebody get a deck of those cards that you just held up with all of those different personalization touch points?
Sure, thanks. ProgressivePersonalization.com.
Okay.
We'll take you to a wait list.
Oh.
So that's the version, those cards I was holding up are the version one. The version two, we're literally going to send off to print next week for the IA conference. I'm also doing a workshop in Europe. We're continuing to refine these. So now I've got assistive and agentive AI. Like, there's a lot to sort of play with. But so get on the mailing list or the wait list, sorry, if you're interested. And that'll be the first way that you can actually get access to them. But we are play testing them. So certainly if you're in an organization that's actively doing this kind of stuff, let us know. I pop things in the mail all the time. And we're trying to play test this as much as possible because we want this to have, as much utility as possible. You know, I want to say something about baggage too. There is no doubt in my mind that the user experience design community in particular has acute baggage with personalization.
Yeah, for sure.
As somebody who has sort of worked alongside and been called in to many digital design agencies his whole career, I can tell you that personalization was kind of the mythical final sprint of many large replatformings. Regardless of the sector, if you hit a certain budget level, it seemed like an executive creative director or somebody in the account team said, and then we'll personalize it all. And oftentimes people didn't get there because budget got eaten up in readying for launch or whatever. But also, we didn't do the necessary steps of what I call pre-personalization. I've got an article that'll probably be out when this comes out for A List Apart talking about how to run a pre-personalization workshop Colin and I have authored. So, and that's tied to, again, how do you use these cards? If user experience has this baggage, I have news for you to say that other functional units and or sort of functional domains like marketing, support, product, a lot of those don't. And in fact, some of the most interesting conversation in the last year have come from two books, Hello First Name by Rasmus Hulind out of Copenhagen. has written a wonderful book on personalization last year. That's 2023. And David Mannheim, the person in personalization. And he comes out of the experience optimization community. So if you think of conversion rate optimization, those folks. And I want to argue in this chapter that content professionals themselves have so much skin in the game here, but we've done ourselves a disservice in the user experience design world of sort of saying, yeah, this is too fantastical. I tried it. We were part of a project, didn't work out. The reality is that if you are working inside a certain size company today, I would be surprised if you did not have a recommender somewhere in your site or digital place. What do you think is your recommender is working on? It's working on content. How is that content structured semantically? How is that semantically structured content made possible? Well, yes, of course. We all need Heretto. We all need people to sort of wade in. But one of the things I say in the chapter is none of the vanguard consumer personalized products of Spotify would be available today if they had not acquired Echo Nest, which allowed them to cross their IA for AI divide. You know, the personalization gap is that enfeebling experience you have of like, oh, here's the ocean, where do I go? But it's also, do I have an appropriate ship to get me there? And so I am a big proponent of information architecture, but it doesn't have to be this moonshot where we like semantically upgrade all of the things, because that just rarely, rarely works.
Yeah, for sure. And so I'm going to pile on to that a little bit with kind of a pitch for why data is a critical component of this. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things you could say about data in terms of its overhead that I think are fair criticisms. But the one thing that you can't take away from it is it got the incrementalism that is critical to semantics, right? So if you look at data as a structured content framework and moving into that, it's not right for all kinds of content. Like, we'll just set that aside. But if it is right for the type of content you're working on, the thing that puts data ahead of every other option in terms of the way that you can approach it is the fact that specialization is incremental. And it allows an organization to add semantics into their content without breaking anybody who's using it, because of the fact that there's the ability to fall back on specializations. Everything which is specialized is a more semantic version of something else. So if you specialize a list item to be more specific to what it is listing, at the worst, when it's going to a system which is unaware of that specialization, that list item will be treated just as a list item. And that's so, so critical, because I think that what you're getting at here is the big problem with all of these projects, which is that people are like, okay, we have to get there to get business value. And it's far down, it's far out, like it's far away. It's something which is on the horizon. And it's very hard to see the journey to get to that place. But the business value isn't achieved until you arrive. That is a really heavy cross to bear. And it's high risk, because if you don't get there, when you abandon it, you're not left with 60% of the value or 70% of the value. You're left with 0%. So these like moonshots that you talk about, they're all or nothing. And the reality is that almost all moonshots, other than the actual moonshot that NASA did, tend to not get to the moon, right? Like, that's the problem.
Well, yeah, and I think it's really easy to get into a monumentalist sort of state. Like, we must have boots on the moon.
Right.
What about low Earth orbit?
Right.
What about, you know, seeing the planet from a certain view? Like, these byproducts of starting to automate or systematize some of our content information, you're going to have those surprises along the way too, I argue. I have always talked in bumper stickers as a consultant. It is one of my misdemeanors. And one of them is structure lets us simplify, but scrappy lets us ship. And, A clear, cohesive IA is going to yield a rich, reliable AI. And everyone knows this, like trust is the game now. Game is, sounds like I'm being patronizing or talking light of this. I'm not. I think we need to, as content professionals, wade into the area where search professionals live already, and they understand why it's so important to have TF-IDF to fall back on when this black box ML algorithm's not working, or, and on and on. So what you're talking about when you're talking about data and the sort of like narrowing down or specificity of these specializations, to me, you know what I hear is broad term, narrow term. I'm hearing like, this is I think of this as a taxonomist, is if we can understand that there's a grammar underlying our experience, express that grammar systematically, and also convey where possible the reasons that user is seeing what they're seeing, we've got three legs of a very sturdy stool where we could start to be what I call a personalization optimist. And I say this like, a little bit flakily, or cheekily, because I know it rubs some of my colleagues who are purists the wrong way. Right. Like, oh, actually, this is very hard, Jeffrey. Well, yes, but if you want to link two data repositories, you can create a crosswalk. There's problems with the crosswalk, but that table will align a whole bunch of content or data objects, and you can now put them in the same content recommendations pool. These things are not rocket science, and I think for content professionals, we get a little overwhelmed sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, things don't have to be perfect to be useful. And, if you stick with the analogy of a moonshot, like, what if Apollo 11 was the first thing they launched and they were trying to get all the way to the moon, right? Like, back to your point of, like, low Earth orbit, like, putting other things up there, like, value along the way. It just never would have worked.
Well, and again, I want to shout the customer experience optimization community has played in proto-personalization. And does it every day. And it's test and learn. It's just experiments where they are tweaking part of the presentation layer or the rules for why you receive the thing you receive, whether it's a promotion or it's support content just for the product they know you registered for. These different tribes have a lot to bring forward. It's why I created the Bucket Brigade as a place to start to pool some knowledge so that those colleagues of mine that are seeking coaching can receive it or just keep on top of what's going on with CDP or something of that nature. We just have to sort of step up to this challenge, but I think it's very rewarding because it gets us as content professionals so much closer to measurable impact. And I think that's so important if you're a content professional.
All right, I got three semi-rapid fire questions to close us out here. So, the content operations book is by design meant to be a kind of choose your own adventure. It's not meant to be read cover to cover, although if you want to, you're obviously more than welcome to. So first question here is, who should read your chapter? Don't say everyone.
I can't say everyone. I would encourage anyone that is feeling that they are not seeing, I want to say that people who feel that they're ready to take the next sort of step up in the sophistication of their practice as a practitioner should read that chapter. But I also really want to encourage people who feel somehow like automation, AI, personalization, these things all feel similar. And I have feelings as a consumer about them, but I don't know how to think about them as a practitioner. That's the person I want to read this, because I think that there is a lot that you can provide as a practitioner, but you need to probably start thinking about it more structurally than maybe you do today.
All right. So expanding that a little bit, when should organizations start thinking about personalization?
Well, certainly, I believe that everyone should be doing some kind of test and learn, meaning you should be using the wonderful software that you already use today to start to express your content and information in more helpful ways. Don't clobber, don't ship your org chart, right? Has been like rule two, right behind don't make me think of usability since day one. And this work, doing designing for personalization, will help you simplify. It seems daunting. It seems like, well, actually, this is going to be confounding. Yes, it will at first. But you need to be serving somebody else. You need to serve the user.
All right. Last one here. What's the one most important thing people should take away from reading your chapter?
You can do it.
I love that answer.
I mean, I literally, if we were having this interview a year ago, I would say you could just go download Google Optimize and start tweaking your portfolio page,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
or your website. There is very low cost methods of automating things. Use MailChimp. You start mm-hmm. a campaign, flip it on to an automation when you start to see the value. The designing for personalization does not need to be this this sort of lunar landing. And people just need to become more comfortable with what is the grammar I'm working with, and how can I start to think, sneakily start thinking like an information architect if I'm not already proudly wearing that badge today.
All right, very good. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much for being here on Components and talking to me about your chapter and the up and coming content operations book. This was a super fun conversation, as it always is. So that's completely expected. So looking forward to talking to you again soon. And thanks again for being here.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm super excited for this book and for those who are going to read it. I really just an honor to be with authors like yourself.
Gosh, same.
Howdy, y'all. Welcome to Components. I'm Ren, product marketer at Heretto and your podcast MC.
I'm Patrick, CEO here at Heretto.
And I'm Jared, lead solutions consultant.
Thanks for joining us on our weekly conversation about componentized and structured content. Hope you enjoy this 15 or so minutes of fun talking about everything from data to innovations in AI.
All right, let's get into it.